Welch ein Heiland hoch und rein, er ist mein und ich bin sein. Er ertaufte mich mit Blut, machte meinen Schaden gut. Welch ein Heiland, welch ein Heiland,
oh, ich Heiland Jesus ist, welch ein Heiland Jesus ist.
Loben muss ich ihn und
Loben
preisen, ich bin sein. Er gab sich und sein Alles hin für mich. Seine Liebe wundersam ist die mich gefangen nahm. Welch ein Heiland, welch ein Heiland, oh, ich
Heiland Jesus
ist, welch ein
Heiland Jesus ist.
Loben muss ich ihn und
preisen.
Ich bin sein und er ist mein und er bin sein. Welch ein Heiland Schritt für Schritt, trägt er mich und wandert mit, leitet, hütet und bewahrt, treu mich auf der Pilgerfahrt.
Welch ein Heiland,
welch ein Heiland,
oh,
wie
Heiland Jesus ist,
ich stand am Heiland
Jesus ist.
Loben
muss
ich ihn und
preisen,
ich bin sein. Welch ein Heiland seine Hand.
Liebe Brüder und Schwestern,
dear brothers and sisters,
ich heiße euch alle recht herzlich,
I welcome you all warmly
in, dem teuren Namen,
in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wir danken dem Herrn,
we thank the Lord
auch heute Morgen,
that we may also hear the true word of God from Brother Frank this morning. We thank the Lord for showing us the way, as it says in Jeremiah 42, verse 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. This word was also written for us. The Lord wants to indicate the way for us. Dear brothers, dear sisters, He has not only shown us the way, but He has placed us on that way, on the narrow path on which we may walk to meet the Lord. So we can only praise and thank the Lord for taking us by the hand. Before we go into prayer, I would like to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 16 to 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In verse 19 it says so wonderfully, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, we have the word of prophecy. We possess it. We are not going to receive it. We have already received it. Faithful Lord, we thank you and want to praise and honor you and give you all the glory for placing us on this path. Lord Jesus, help us on this narrow path that we have now taken, so that we may lay aside everything that is no good in your sight, so that we may one day stand before you in white garments. Lord Jesus, we can only praise and extol you and thank you that you are still the same, that you speak to us even this morning. To you, faithful Lord, be praise, glory and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. I too would like to greet and welcome everyone very warmly from one end of the earth to the other. I especially wish all the ministering brethren to pass on God's word as it is written, without any interpretation. We will also briefly go into what Brother Keller read out. We are indeed living in a very special time. The return of the Lord is near, and so is the end of time. We have actually received the exact division in God's plan of salvation. It was 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. Now, a good 2,000 years have passed, and we read in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, about the 1,000-year reign of our Lord here on earth. And after that, we read that the new heavens and a new earth will come. God has a plan of salvation. Time has begun. Time will end. Eternity has never begun and will never end. Our task is to show from the Holy Scriptures that we have now indeed come to the end of the time of grace, that this is the last period of time before the return of Jesus Christ, and that the Lord will bring his work of redemption to completion, and that by his grace we will witness the consummation. And we believe the promise that the Lord has left us. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In the word of introduction, we heard especially the emphasis on the word of prophecy. And we actually have three special aspects in the proclamation. On the one hand, the prophetic part, then the doctrinal part, and the evangelistic part. And we want all who hear and believe God's word now to experience their preparation for the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. And we are going to read some scriptures. The main thing is especially that we, as sons and daughters of God, have been ordained to see the glory of God, that we have been given the adoption of sons, that God has made children of God out of children of men, and that He has given us eternal life. Let us now read a few scriptures in addition to the word that Brother Keller has already read to us. We read from Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Romans 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Blessed and praised be our Lord. Please take every word to heart. Believe it and thank the Lord for it. Paul could point back to a calling. He could say where, when, and how it happened, when he was set into the ministry, and then the glorious statement that he proclaimed the divine message of salvation as God had it proclaimed in the Old Testament through his holy prophets. Isn't that tremendous, that God was able to announce and promise in advance through the prophets in the Old Testament everything that would happen in the New and that belongs to God's plan of salvation? I have already said it in a broadcast. In the New Testament, we find 54 fulfillments of the Old Testament, of everything that was foretold from the birth of the Savior to his ascension. Everything has been foretold in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we find the 54 passages where it was confirmed what was announced and promised in the Old Testament. So, not just any gospel, but the gospel that God had proclaimed in advance through his holy prophets. And that is why the Old and New Testament harmoniously agree 100%. We are grateful to the Lord God. Now, a few more points coming back to the word of introduction. We read from 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Thanks be to the Lord, eyewitnesses, ear witnesses, of what happened then. We did not follow clever interpretations and human fables, but saw God's holy word in fulfillment and preached it to you, the believers, from the heart. Receive it and believe only what and how the scripture says. We read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19a. 2 Peter 1, verse 19a. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Amen. Thanks be to the Lord. We say today the same thing, 100%. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Praise be to the Lord, that the proclamation of the prophets and then the confirmation and proclamation of the apostles are 100% the same. And that is wonderful to know, that there is not a single contradiction in the Holy Scriptures, but everything is really divinely ordered, and we may see it and understand it and still testify today a more sure word. In our time too, we have the most diverse interpretations and explanations. For us, we testify to this sincerely and honestly. For us applies forever. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have it. It has become our possession. We do not just talk about it. We possess, we own everything that God has promised in his word. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. It is not a theory. It is divine reality, and the accomplished redemption is still valid for us today, And we receive and accept everything by faith, what God has given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20.
2
Peter 1, verse 20.
Dabei müsst ihr euch vor allem darüber klar sein,
knowing this first,
that
no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Amen.
Amen.
Auch das
this too must be taken to heart.
Und sind wir ehrlich,
and let us be honest.
In allen
Christen, in all Christian directions,
the
biblical statements are interpreted and again interpreted, but no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. But as we have emphasized, the prophecies have and find their fulfillment. They do not need to be interpreted. They must be seen in their fulfillment. When our Lord gave the promise of the forerunner of the first coming of Christ, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, or I send my messenger before me that he may prepare my way. This needed no interpretation. Isaiah had prophesied, Malachi had prophesied, and in the New Testament, these prophecies have been fulfilled, have found their confirmation, and therefore, we must emphasize that even in our time, no prophecy of the Scripture permits any private interpretation. True children of God will believe the true Word of God in the original and participate in the fulfillment of the promises. Thanks be to our God that he has also given clear promises for the second coming of Christ in his word. Even to the promise, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So, now, at the end of the day of salvation, before the terrible day of God's wrath dawns, a biblical message had to go forth. And when Peter emphasized, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Brothers and sisters, we say the same thing today. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That the Lord would send a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet, a promised prophet. And so it happened in our time. This we say freely and openly, that God confirmed His word and directly, divinely commissioned Brother Branham in our time to bring the divine message, namely to bring us back to the beginning. For thus it is written in Acts chapter 3 of our Lord, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets. So, our Lord remains in heaven until all things have been restored to the divine state. And God has truly sent Brother Branham as a prophet, not as a theologian or reformer, but as a prophet to put the word of prophecy anew upon the lampstand. And we may doctrinally place everything biblically and bring the word of the Lord to the people of God. Let us read on. We read from Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Amen.
Amen. This too is our sincere prayer, that God would lead us into the Word with all spiritual understanding. It is not the head that needs to be addressed, but the heart. And as the prophets were under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit and it is written of our Lord, the Spirit of God is upon you and has anointed you. So it was with the apostles. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led them into all truth. And Paul had all believers in mind, praying that God would fill your hearts, that Spirit worked faith, Spirit worked knowledge, Spirit worked revelation, that all things would be wrought by the Spirit of God in those who hear the revealed, precious and holy word of God. And therefore it is written, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will lead you into all truth. And this is what we are now literally experiencing, that we have been called out of all interpretations, out of all denominations, to the Word, to God, back to what God had written down through prophets and apostles in the Old and New Testament. So, also our prayer is that all listeners will receive Spirit-worked knowledge, Spirit-worked revelation, Spirit-worked faith, and that all of God's plan of salvation will be revealed to us, and that we will have a direct part in it. Oh, thanks be to God, who has visited our generation by grace, who has truly done what he promised. And we are children of promise and believe every promise God has made in his word. We read Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to the Lord. It's not just about teaching. It is about truly believing from the heart that in Jesus Christ we have received complete redemption, complete forgiveness, complete reconciliation, and that in the blood of the new covenant, everything that was on us in terms of guilt and sin has been taken away from us. And we have been justified by faith as if we had never sinned, as if we had never been guilty. All that then belongs to the past. And we may then call out with Paul, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away. Everything has become new. We are grateful for such scriptures which we may take to heart, believe from the heart, and find ourselves reflected and deepened in them. Please receive and accept redemption. The Lord cried out on the cross, it is finished. Thanks be to the Lord for it. We read from Colossians 1, verse
22.
Yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, how powerfully Paul was able to express this of the complete redemption, that we have been presented unblameable in the sight of God, unimpeachable. All that belonged to the past is no more. The past is no longer there. Only What God has done in Christ, only that applies to us as believers. And that is why we thank our Lord for it. I ask that this verse be read again with emphasis. Please receive and accept it in faith. It is for you who have received and accepted the message from your heart. We read from Colossians 1, verse 22. Yet now has he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through his death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Just say in faith, beloved Lord, I accept this, and I thank thee that thou hast shed thy blood, that thou hast redeemed me, and that thou wilt present me unreprovable, unblameable in thy sight. Our Savior came into this mortal, sinful body, shed his blood here, his holy, divine blood, redeemed us, and forgave all guilt and sin, to present us unblameable, unreprovable before the face of God, as redeemed, as reconciled, as pardoned, as children of God. And for that, we are grateful. We read from Colossians 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Thanks be to the Lord. Our Lord and Redeemer is all in all. He is the firstborn. But we are the church of the firstborn, as it was so clearly expressed in the letter to the Hebrews. He, the firstborn among many brethren, and we have received the birthright. We too have been born again. Thanks be to the Lord our God for this. Our Lord did not just say, ye must be born again, otherwise you cannot see the kingdom of God. He has made sure that we can be born again through the seed of the divine word and through the Holy Spirit, just as it was with our Savior. The word became flesh, and he came to us as the firstborn and gave us the birthright, so that we are called his brothers. To our Savior be the thanks. Please, beloved brothers and sisters, accept it. These are divine facts. Give thanks to the Lord from your heart.
Wir lesen aus
we read
Römer,
from Romans,
das 8. Kapitel,
chapter 8,
Vers 29.
Verse 29.
Denn die, welche er zuvor ersehen
for whom he did foreknow,
die hat er auch im
he also did predestinate
dem Bilde seines
to be conformed to the image of his Son,
dieser sollte
that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Vielen Brüdern sein.
Amen.
Amen.
Was hätte Gott
what more could God have done?
Und ich sag es noch einmal,
and I say it again with emphasis.
Lest alle noch einmal
read all these scriptures again.
Es ist wirklich
it really is the case that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, that our mortal bodies will be transformed, that we will be with Him in glory for eternity, that we will not think back on what happened here on earth, but only on what God has done for us. And let us say it again, as we read it, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He has destined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And this will happen in the resurrection. Thanks be to the Lord God for this. Everything has been told to us in this precious and holy word, not only of the return of Christ, but what would happen before and what will happen then when the Lord returns, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that we who are alive shall be changed in a moment and be taken up to the Lord in the clouds. So let us thank our Lord for the plan of salvation. And as I was about to say, there are different things happening on the right and on the left, even in our time. We notice that it's the end time, and everything that our Lord predicted, especially in Matthew 24, is happening around us. Whether wars, famines, earthquakes, costly times, everything is happening around us. Perplexity is there. Many are already in despair. These are the side circumstances that happen in the end time, before the return of Jesus Christ. But they had to happen so that the word of our Lord could be fulfilled. When ye see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for ye know that your redemption is drawing near. May God open our eyes, open our ears, open our understanding, And then it is all about the main thing in Matthew 24. Three questions had been put to the Lord. When will this happen with the temple? That not one stone will be left upon another. And what about the return of Jesus Christ and the end of time? And the Lord answered all the questions. And the main thing for us, our Lord emphasized in verse 14, the gospel, the divine message of salvation will be preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. All of you who believe the end time message and have heard about the ministry of Brother Branham, how God revealed the word to him, and what a commission he received, and how the Lord, in his over 1,000 sermons, confirmed the word, saved the lost, delivered the bound, healed the sick. In our time, God's word has been confirmed in all areas according to spirit, soul, and body. It has truly come to pass what our Lord said in John 14, verse 12. The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. Everything has happened in our time, and I thank the Lord God that I was an eyewitness, an ear witness for 10 years of the ministry that God had given to Brother Branham. I personally witnessed everything, and I thank the Lord God for giving me the grace. But especially what we have emphasized now, the divine message of salvation in the original, all the biblical teachings about Godhead, about baptism, about the Lord's Supper, about the fall, God has revealed everything biblically. And Brother Branham, let's be clear, was not a theologian, was not a reformer. He was a man sent from God. And God had promised a prophet. So he was the prophet who had to appear to bring the word. And we now have the great privilege of passing on biblically all that God has given us anew by grace through the ministry of Brother Branham. Everything that the prophet said in the Old Testament, everything that the apostles said in the New Testament, and the doctrine of the apostles has been put on the lampstand anew. Just imagine of all that is being done in Christendom. There the hand is dipped into the water, putting it three times on the forehead of an infant. Water baptism and the baptism of the Spirit belong together. And that is why our Lord said in the Great Commission, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And then comes the first sermon of Peter. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the confirmation of the remission of sins. It simply belongs together. But everything has been changed. A completely different gospel is preached. And Paul, commissioned by God, had to say in Galatians 1, whoever preaches another gospel is under the curse. My God, what shall we say today? All preach their own gospel, have their own doctrines, their own creed, and therefore the serious admonition to receive and accept what God has told us in his word, namely, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, always it goes back to the scriptures. Let us read one more word. We read from Matthew, chapter 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Thanks be to the Lord. Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother, my sister, my mother. We pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But please, not just generally on earth, but put your hand on your heart and pray directly before God and led by God. My God, thy will be done in my life. For only he who does the will of God will stand his ground before God. So, let us thank the Lord for his precious and holy word. Let us thank the Lord that we live in the time of calling out, of separation, that God is calling out from all peoples and tongues, from all religions, back to the Word, back to God, to the one faith that has been delivered to the saints once and for all. Do we have another word? We read from Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. One can say an amen and a hallelujah to that. God is faithful, and we have received and accepted his word and the whole work of redemption. And we thank the Lord that we may worship in spirit and in truth. And I ask that all read Mark chapter 7, verse 7. And I ask that it be read now. How be it, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. With this we come to a close. It hurts. It pains. But the Lord has said it. In vain do they worship me. In vain they pray. In vain, because they have made commandments of men their doctrines. And this is true of all religions, of all denominations. They have made their own doctrines and proclaim them, and all their Lord's prayers, and all their prayers are in vain, as the Lord has said. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And we end with a mighty saying of our Lord, the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Not self-made doctrines and self-made belief. No, and again no. In vain, if the Lord, and please, don't take offense, but if the Lord has to say to all churches and Christian denominations, in vain, in vain, what then? May God grant grace that all that we have heard today from 2 Peter chapter 1 in the word of introduction and then also reflected and all the other scriptures may come to fulfillment, so that we can truly worship in the Spirit of God and in truth, so that our prayers can come before the throne of grace. To Him, the only God, be the glory and the praise. Be all blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.